It's a great pleasure to be here. Can you hear me in the back all right? Thank you. And to be talking about orphans and vulnerable children in the urban slums of Africa. This began 4 years ago when you and Habitat made a commitment to the Millennium Development Goal of improving the well-being of 100 million African slum dwellers. Senior staff of UN Habitat, some of the women, were concerned when you're dealing with slums, so much of it is water and trash and so on. They were thought that the young children might be left out. So they asked Nancy, who's up here in front, and myself, if we could help them in the development of health care and social support for the orphans and vulnerable children in the urban slums of Africa. We said yes, we were excited by the prospect, and we said, what will the budget be? And UN Habitat replied, zero. So rather than saying no budget, no work, as virtually all urban slums are faced with tightly limited resources, this became a core challenge of our project. It meant we had to seek our own resources. Now, some comments about urban slums in general. About 1 billion people in the world live in slums. In Africa, about 70% of the urban populations live in the slums. In the urban slums of Nairobi, now this is specific data, 87% of the households live in one-room homes, usually about 10 by 10 feet, with no running water, no sanitation, and low electricity. How they do it is remarkable, but they do it. Millions of children have lost one or both parents, many of them to HIV/AIDS, as you would know. The children are left with a remaining parent, aunt, grandma, or no one. Some are in a caring community and taken care of in foster households. Sometimes that works, and sometimes they're unhappy with it. This is Kibera, the largest slum of Nairobi and one of the largest of Africa. There's Nancy walking down one of the pathways of one of the neighboring slums. And there again, the trash in the background. And then these children. You see them so often, happy, smiling, and wonderfully welcoming of you. Now, you and Habitat and the government of Kenya have agreed to work on the upgrading of the slums of Kenya, beginning with Nairobi. KENSUP, the Kenya Slum Upgrading Program. We decided that our work on the orphans and vulnerable children of the urban slum should begin in Nairobi with the collaboration of KENSUP. The community selected for that purpose was Ol Mulolongo, a slum village of 3,000 people on the Mombasa-Nairobi-Kampala highway, part of a larger settlement of 25,000 named Mavoko. Now, the plan was to develop health care programs for the orphans and vulnerable children in Ol Mulolongo, initially as a pilot project, and then expand it to the entire settlement of Mulolongo, or Mavoko, rather. However, one of the realities, there was no active healthcare system in which we might integrate our care of the OVCs. So it is with much of the slums of Africa, no existing healthcare system. And the further reality, almost no budget. So our reality was that our task would not be to implement a well-known healthcare system, rather would be to help the people of Ol Mulolongo to realize the things they themselves could do to improve the health and well-being of their children. And this approach would be shaped so as to be applicable to other slums of Nairobi and the greater Africa. Now, Ol Mulolongo has a health committee that has been involved in some community surveys with UN Habitat and providing home-based care in that community for people living with AIDS. And here's the committee. I'll not go into the details of it. I'm sitting there on the edge. And the health committee helped us to organize a workshop to consider the activities the community would be willing to undertake. They arranged for about 30 caregivers who came, many of them with their children, often breastfeeding as we were there, to meet us, a lively and socially open discussion. We didn't tell them, we listened to them as well as discussed with them, with agreement on the following project areas. And you'll see this is primary health care. Growth monitoring, immunizations, hand washing, insecticide-treated bed nets, nutrition, nutritional supplements, home-based care, people living with AIDS, and caregiver-child attachments. I'll come back to that last one in a moment. But first, about the primary care. We saw to it that we had community health workers, local people, trained to do this so that every household was visited on a monthly basis. No one left out. There was referral as needed to the government health center or beyond to the hospital, and this helps in building an interactive community infrastructure. Now, the African Population Health Research Center, APHRC, helped us to develop a household survey focused on children under five. Our health committee and other helpful persons visited all the households in Mulalongo, Sofia, and Bondeni, 4,500 households. In every household where there was a child under five, they interviewed the caregiver, and there were 1,720 child-related interviews. This gave us a baseline. Now, there's been an explosion going on to this other subject that I mentioned before, of research on early childhood development in recent years with some startling new findings. I have a book here, From Neurons to Neighborhoods, The Science of Early Childhood Development, National Academy Press, year 2000. And the chair of this process was a man named Jack Schoenkopf, who's a professor of Harvard at Harvard now, director of the Center on the Developing Child. And this book tells us, and the related science, that when this little child is born, neurologically, it is wired and ready to learn. Does it make much difference what it learns? Indeed it does. It is very important that the child has a relationship with the mother or caregiver that is nurturing, loving, protective, supporting, stimulating every day from the beginning, every week, every month for considerable time. With that secure attachment, the child builds a foundation that includes a sense of self-worth, physical, social, cultural, and cognitive development that prepares it to cope with this complex world into which it's been born. It can benefit, that can be beneficial for the child's entire life. And there's a loving mother and her baby. We see them all the time. But if the child is neglected or abused and lacks that secure attachment, let us say that it is an insecure attachment, this can be disruptive and truly harmful with lifelong consequences. We're, of course, concerned about the many children in the slums who would not have parents or caregivers. Importantly, there would be limited understanding that the children who were simply neglected, even if not mistreated, could be harmed by the lack of a nurturing caregiver attachment. Indeed, harm for life. So we shared these ideas with our health committee. They were truly excited by the knowledge, deeply interested in taking steps to protect the children in Old Mulalongo and beyond. So they began teaching the community about this and gaining widespread support from them. They've actually been scoring the households in terms of whether the caregiver-child attachment appears to be secure or insecure. Now let us tell you some of their findings that surprised and impressed us. They found that households where a child was malnourished was also a household in which the caregiver-child attachment was often insecure. How dramatic. Actually, the literature in this field is quite supportive of these findings. It is telling us that correcting childhood malnutrition may require more than feeding. Somehow, nurturing loving care has to come alongside the feeding. Now, the importance of these observations for the orphans and vulnerable children for Africa is immense. Numberless children are suffering from unrecognized harms to their social, emotional, cognitive well-being. And the question is, what will it take to protect millions of Africa's children from these unintended harms? Let's look more carefully at these issues. And these pictures are taken from a course we gave recently. I came back 2 weeks ago for the people there. Caregiver-child attachments. Child's relationship with the primary caregiver begins even before birth. Plays a critical role in development. Affects emotional, cognitive, social, physical development with lifelong impact. Children are dependent upon those who care for them. Their social and emotional growth is directly related to capacity of caregiver to receive and respond to their needs as individuals. This is so important. They're not just responding to them the way you would to all children. The caregiver is responding to that child as an individual. And the individual child responding to the mother or the caregiver as an individual. This reciprocal relationship is referred to as attachment. Not race or culture specific, but universal, instinctive, a biological survival mechanism. Relationships that are nurturing, loving, and stimulating result in positive patterns. These children do better at school, at work, in relationships, and as parents when they become parents, and we call this a secure attachment. But long-term stress can actually damage the child's brain. Life circumstances, such as social determinants, can intervene and cause insecure attachments. These children are less resilient, have more problems with social relationships, turn out to be dropouts from school, the street children, or when grown and at work, they do less well as parents. They're more prone to violence and addiction. Closing the gap between what we know and what we do, how do we use this new science and the evidence-based theory of attachment to address the problems of the children of Africa? We're implementing two programs, and we did this just while I was there in the last month. Community health worker training program. I mentioned earlier we have community health workers that visit every household. Intensive training for them, teaching the importance of caregiver-child interaction to identify different forms of attachment and promote responsive action. These pictures are taken in the course that we gave there in Mulolongo. Then the second one is a parent skills workshop, modeled after theory-driven, evidence-based circle of security intervention. University of Virginia, where I'm on the faculty, there is a center for the developing child there, and has this program called Circle of Security, and we've taken material from that for our program in Nairobi. There, 5 weeks to teach the parents the skills and understanding to develop secure attachments, a few hours a day, for a couple of days a week, facilitated by the community health workers with follow-up and monitoring of the impact. What we're doing here is simplifying a complex body of knowledge that is accessible to the community. Bring interventions geared toward individuals from the field of psychology into the realm of public health and community development led locally by community health workers. Community health workers are trained to visit every household. They oversee the implementation of the healthcare processes such as growth monitoring, immunizations, and they encourage caregiver-child interactions. The information they collect is serving as the basis for a health and child development information system. In the past, when I'm working in primary health care, I had a health information system. We've gone beyond that to the health and child development information system. Jack Schoenkopf, I mentioned before at Harvard, he's saying, Jack, you've got to go beyond health information system. You've got to beyond child survival to include child development. And that's where this comes from. One of the delights of this work has been lively involvement of the communities. We've been careful to share thinking, planning, and actions, and listening more than telling. Rachel Nduku, who's a co-author of this paper, began as secretary of the health committee in Omolongo. Excellent organizational skills and writing of the minutes of our meeting. We advanced her to become the community coordinator of the project. She's ahead of it now and in weekly touch with us by email. She amazed us with her capacities for organizing activities, recording processes involving community members in these processes. And there's Rachel with a computer on one side, her notes on the other in our rented office there. She's taken special interest in supporting caregiver-child interactions and tracking nutritional status of the children. In each of the communities, she brings together caregiver-child interactions that range from secure to insecure. The caregivers are learning the differences in the nature of their interactions and often making efforts to evolve toward more loving and secure interactions. And she and her colleagues push that process. Some problem responses. The wait for age. We found that at the beginning, our children under five, 35% were malnourished. Caregiver-child attachment, 53% had insecure attachments. So visiting the household three times is what Rachel would do. Visit the household three times, observe behavior of caregiver and child, do growth monitoring, assess the nature of the attachment, discuss these with the caregiver. All right, several months with encouragement of CHWs and community dialogue, the consequences, the malnutrition decreased from 35% to 25%, and the insecure attachments decreased from 53% to 28%. Here is a community-wide interest in these positive changes. So we appreciate these measures are not hard science, this matter of making the diagnosis, of scoring, but they're the consequences of strong community concern. We're in the process of strengthening community involvement in these processes, including modes of measurement and encouragement of dialogue. Increasingly, the community reaches out to be supportive of those in greatest need. Strong community interaction on this matter. Our plan, then, is to return to Nairobi and continue our work there with Ken Soup, Omulolongo in Africa, to extend this work, which we started there, which is going so well, and we believe we're building an evidence base for effective action. You and Habitat is ready and willing to push this process to other parts of Kenya and Africa. And finally, We suggest, again, that this matter of caregiver-child interactions can be seen as a new paradigm for primary health care and a new paradigm for the social determinants of health. Think of how this loving interaction affects the lives of those children, and thereby a new dimension of global health. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Jack. That was fascinating. We're going to have another presentation now about another aspect of working with orphans and vulnerable children. And this is Sifiwe Madiba, who is from South Africa. She's a senior lecturer and researcher at the School of Public Health at the University of Limpopo, and she's currently a doctoral candidate, has worked in various HIV/AIDS projects and programs, and her research focus and interest is in youth reproductive health and behavior change. She's worked with youth from underprivileged communities on sexuality, HIV/AIDS, and teenage pregnancy and condom use. And next presentation. Very good.